Bagel Tech Mac, the Friday Mac Show, the unashamedly Mac. What a day I've had. That's the least of my worries, is not being able to talk. We've got a bit of an impromptu panel, it's said, because we've the Bagel Tech Network has been really badly hit with the lurgy today. By most people seem to be dipping out. So, joining us in the top left corner again, Mr. Mark Sunner. Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Hi, Ewan. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, no pleasure. You were great last week. We got some emails saying how great you were.
Well, I'll do my best.
I didn't get any emails at all. I just thought you'd like to know that.
It sounded good. I bought it.
No, you were great, pal. Thank you ever so much. I'm screwing around with the video here, actually, because it's all bloody gone out of line. Never mind. So, next to Mark, we've got Dr. Happy Mac, our resident technician. Andrew, how's it going, mate?
Afternoon. Yeah, a bit almost didn't make it today, but finally, at the last minute, I've got three MacBooks and an iMac that has to be bundled up and a courier sorted out. So,
Glad you made it, mate.
The last second, but I'm here.
I didn't think you were gonna miss talking about brand new MacBooks, pal.
Oh, we've got some news this week, so yeah, definitely.
Actually, yeah. Below Andrew, we've got Sarah, who's here to talk about Thunderbolt because it's going to come eventually. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, something like that. on a small break from work and for an hour and having some fun.
I've just noticed we've been sitting chatting and talking about what we're going to do, and I've got you listed as Kyle Swagger. I do apologise on the video.
I don't know whether that's good for Kyle or me or what, but it's
sorry.
It's a bit of a radical difference.
Yeah, just a shite bit. And finally, but by no means least, from British Mac, Mr. Will Green.
Hello.
Hello, pal. Nice dashing jacket you've got there. You're off to Henley after this.
Thank you very. You know, this is
a
replica of the prisoner jacket.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did you buy it because it's a replica of the prisoner jacket?
I bought it because I last weekend went to Port Merion and I saw it and I thought, ooh,
I love it. Because that's where it was all filmed, wasn't it, of course?
Yeah, it's a great place. I had a really lovely time and there's a lovely hotel. I didn't stop there. Stopped in a crappy hotel in Barmouth, but it was, yeah, really, if you've never been, thoroughly recommended.
So, we had a lovely day, so if it hadn't rained.
Why do I feel like a song coming on here?
Exactly. we're all going on a summer holiday.
That's the one.
The week in Mac, the Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice are looking at investigating into the subscription policies of Apple. There's been a couple of little ones that have come out for capacitive touch for the iPad, which looked absolutely gorgeous. And there was a thing today, the Mac Deck, which gives you the MacBook experience with the touchpad and your keyboard, but on your desktop, which looked very nice as well. After that, really, I suppose the biggest thing to talk about is brand new MacBooks. Everyone's excited?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, brand new range of MacBooks launched yesterday with Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt is the big new thing. Now, the thing that struck me was, I looked at it yesterday first off, and I was sitting there going, well, okay, they've added Thunderbolt, but, I mean, it's not like a brand new thing. It's not, you know, complete redesign or anything like that. Nothing like the unibody inference was and stuff. And then I realised actually that it was only the press that had been hyping it up. Apple hadn't really done any hype at all until they actually just pushed it out and they just said, oh, we've got some new stuff, here you go. Journalism, guilty of hyping things up, no?
Never.
Never.
What a suggestion.
Wash my mouth out. So
no, I think that people always seem to, every time there's an update, everyone's going, oh, new cases for the MacBooks and things. And Apple have gone really conservative on their cases. They seem to, you know, once they've got a case, they keep it for years now. And I don't think they were ever going to change the unibody designs, given how much they've thrown into the making of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just a bit of wishful thinking. I mean, everyone's just wanting more speed and some of the stuff people wanted didn't show up, but a lot of it did.
Yes.
So I think my comment, there's nothing like Moore's Law to make you feel old. So just looking at the specs here, so Thunderbolt 10 gigabits a second, which clearly is going to knock out USB 3, which is 1 gigabit per 3 seconds. And, I just remember back in the day when I was a lad installing sort of ArcNet with all of its 1 megabyte a second, thinking, well, that was pretty good. And here we are, 10 gigabits per second, light peak. Nice.
And Lightpeak is that's continual transfer rate, unlike USB 3, is it? Once it can ramp up and keep the 10 gigabits all the time.
Yeah. So now there's two channels, is that right?
Yes.
Are both of them carrying 10 gigabits? Have I understood that right? Yeah.
Yes.
So the way I'd understood it, and I'm more than willing to be corrected here, is that if you had the 10 gigabits down one channel, the other channel could daisy chain other devices off each other, like a FireWire daisy chain would be, or like a FireWire hub or USB hub would be, and they would just share the 10 gigabits a second that was available proportionally.
I think it was, the way I understood it was, say you've got one channel running 10 gigabits for video to the monitor, because obviously it's shares the connection with the video out on the Mac, which gives you the second 10 gigabit channel. So say you had two external drives, then you would have a monitor running video at 10 gigabits, and then you'd have two external drives both getting 5 gigabits.
Yes, that's what I understood. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's how it works.
That's pretty special.
It's not bad. Not bad.
The interesting thing as well is that this is actually now faster than the majority of Ethernet.
Yeah, yes. I suppose most people are in on 1 gigabit a second, aren't they, at home? If you've got your standard router your Netgear routers for passing around your house through your own home network, they're going to top out at 1 gigabit. Is that going to be a limiting factor, do you think? Is it worth, because I mean, you're going to get fantastic speeds with the direct connection to the computer that it's on, but actually then going round to anywhere else, it's pointless having that kind of data transfer, is it?
It's not pointless. I think you'll see a lot of people now will be looking at a laptop with Lightpeak and an enormous pile of RAIDed drives. Makes really good sense for even video production now. Certainly since I saw on the internet that they benched the top of the line 15-inch MacBook Pro, and it kicked the ass of the fastest Mac Pro tower.
Yeah, I saw that on the Geek.
So if you can plug in a nice big RAID drive on Lightpeak and a big monitor on the same thing, then who the hell's going to buy a tower?
Yeah, or have any kind of, always negates the whole point of having a SAN, doesn't it?
Well, the other thing that was upgraded as well, which was another thing that I kind of missed initially, was the fact that the graphics cards in the 15 and the 17 have gone up to 1 gigabit per second as well, haven't they? They 1 gigabyte for memory, so they're huge. Much, much better now, far more functional. I mean, Will, you were talking about the video expandability with the iMac the other week, because you said I bought the iMac, but I wish I'd bought the Pro now. I mean, the iMac is that not running 1 gigabyte?
No idea. It could be running, I don't know. I'm a little bit confused about it. So what this Thunderbolt thing...
Go on, then.
Right. Now, it's Intel's, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Apple's.
And Apple's, okay. So is the word Thunderbolt, is that like an Intel name or is that an Apple name?
That's an Intel name.
It's got to be. It'd be iThunderbolt if it was Apple.
To be honest, it's also
Intel's,
a little bit
name.
Cheesy.
You think Andrew's just said cheesy at the same time as Will said crap name, so I'm guessing that's motion carried.
I think from Intel's perspective, this is supposed to be the death knell of USB 3, which was, everyone was excited about 6 months ago. God, the dark and distant past. But now Intel are hoping this is ultimately, not just for Macs, but in the not too distant future, will be the overarching powerful port that we all use to connect multiple peripherals.
Is that not a bit of abuse of your power? Because they wouldn't let... I mean, USB 3 has been around for nearly a year now, and they wouldn't let USB 3 go onto their motherboards because they wanted to restrict it because they knew that Lightpeak was coming.
I think so. Their moniker of Chipzilla, I think, is justified. Yeah, it's absolutely an abuse of their power. But seen this before. Sounds and smells like Microsoft and software.
The thing is, though, I mean, I'm not normally one to jump to Apple's defense, but I think if they have actually jointly developed this with Intel, why shouldn't they have a time when they have exclusivity on it.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Sarah. What I'm saying is Intel have refused to let USB 3 interact with the chips for their motherboards.
Oh, sorry.
They've deliberately stifled USB 3 in the full knowledge that Lightpeak was coming.
You can understand why, can't you?
Well, yeah, but I just saw that as slightly
illegal.
Yeah,
I can see what you're saying.
I could be wrong, but...
So USB 3 has been reasonably well adopted over on the PC side, hasn't it? I mean, it's not super unusual, even on the sort of mid-range PC, to have USB 3 now.
But is it? It's not working at 6 gigabits a second, though. It's only working at 3, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is hobbled. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I've got it on a laptop I've got here, and it's not doing anything better than USB 2.
That's
What's
bad.
The symbol for it, I wonder?
For Thunderbolt.
Yeah, is it going to be like a light, like lightning fork?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Wouldn't you just
looking
know
at
it,
the Apple website, it does seem to be a lightning fork.
Yeah,
is it?
It's a thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt.
In fact, it's exactly the same thunderbolt as the bolt that was in the cartoon movie Bolt. So there you go. It's definitely coming. Will, have you got the 3.2 or the 2.8 gigahertz quad core?
I don't know.
Extensive research prior to buying.
2.93 Intel Core i7, it says.
Right, so you've got the 1 gig of video RAM on that then?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yes.
So you're only going to get 1 gig of video RAM if you buy a MacBook Pro. You're now saying that there's 1 gig of RAM on the... Sorry, on the Mac Pro. There's 1 gig of RAM on the current MacBook Pro, and it's outperforming the 8-core... Mac Pro.
Yep.
Like you said, why buy a desktop anymore? Is the Mac Pro going to be phased out? Or is there always going to be people looking for the expandability, the use of the ports and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, of course, the Mac Pro is still chuntering on the older chip architectures, isn't it? Mm. So, I mean, there is the capacity to upgrade the processors on the Mac Pro. And at the end of the day, if Apple do that and put some more up to date tech into the Mac Pro, then it will leap forward again because you've got an enormous case and you can have 8, 12, 16 cores, as many cores as you can throw at it. But as of at the moment, yeah, I mean, looking at it as a video producer, you'd be looking at that thinking, nope, laptop for me.
So the new video in the new Mac Pros, I've not seen this completely confirmed, but it's using Sandy Bridge from Intel rather than NVIDIA, is that correct?
It's using ATI, isn't it?
Said.
Yeah, it's using the ATI. Just quickly, well, everyone scurries to look for Google or AMD Radeon chips are what they're using.
Okay, interesting.
What is this Sandy Bridge thing then? What's that all about?
It's a video capability on the same chip, so it's, you know, it's all about density.
Oh, okay.
So this is in multiple use, isn't it? So you can switch your you can start using system RAM to assist graphics and vice versa.
Oh, that makes more sense, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that you've got with all of the computing now is that the graphics boards are, the threads on those are supposed to be extremely good for crunching data. I mean, the US Navy's using 44 PlayStations that are all daisy chained for doing encryption, because they run so much faster than anything that's available on the current computer market for the job that they're going to do. So getting the graphics board to assist with data handling has got to be the way forward on it, most definitely. I was going to make another question. I've forgotten what the question was now.
I think Apple have reality checked the battery life on the laptops as well. They've given up on the vainglorious 10 hours on a charge, and they've now... plastered 7 hours on a charge.
Yeah. No, that's well, I mean, I don't know if they've cut down
probably
on the battery.
That's probably 2 hours more than the 5 hours on a charge that you actually get from it.
It has got 7 hours with a suffix that refers you to a bit at the bottom that says that's wirelessly hub testing conducted by Apple in the February 2011 using pre-production 2.2 gigahertz quad core Intel i7 17-inch and MacBook Pros. So it's saying it's the wireless web test measures battery life by wirelessly browsing 25 popular websites with display brightness set to 50%. Battery life varies by use and end configuration. So there's a huge caveat to that 7 hours as well as.
Now, nobody what?
There's a huge
nobody has the display at 50%.
No, exactly. It's always burning a hole in it. Now, the other thing is that isn't Lightpeak based, or isn't Thunderbolt based on PCI Express?
Yes, apparently it is.
Yes. So what I'm thinking is, if you've got a Mac Pro, you've already got a PCI Express slot. Does that mean there's going to be a plug-in here, perhaps? Would you get the same speed of transfer? No idea. Right.
Nope. Oh. Moving on.
Moving on. No, Andrew, I just thought, because you know that the PCI Express card is there in the Mac Pro. Do you know what the data handling capacity
is? Is there going to be a license? Will Intel make, you know, will they license it for that your sort of use? I mean, I would imagine possibly in the future it's a good, nice, quick way to get it into the Mac Pro.
Does the slot currently handle that amount of data? It'll still handle 10 gigabits a second.
Now that I don't know. Oh, okay. I don't know what the maximum throughput of the slot on the Mac Pro is.
Oh, well, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Are we going to buy one? I know you're not, Sarah, so don't worry. I won't ask you. Are we going to go for a new Mac Pro? Book Pro?
No.
No?
See, maybe. Only because I've already got an i5 15-inch, so it's going to have to last me a little bit longer. It's a good... I mean, it is. If I was looking for one, I would pull the switch on this. It's a good upgrade.
Yeah, so I mean, I got a tweet yesterday from a guy in the Far East who said, "I've got the 13-inch MacBook Pro, so he's got the standard chip in it, because the other thing that came was you can get the i5 and the i7 in the 13-inch now, which you couldn't get before." And he was saying, "I'm thinking of going up to a 15-inch. Is that a sufficient upgrade for me to go up to a 15-inch or not?" So on that basis of having the old 13-inch. Would leaping to the 15-inch be an enormous leap? I think yes, but
So I guess amongst the panel, I probably represent the consumer, and I'm unsure about these new video capabilities. It sounds like it's going to be sort of on par, possibly even a retrograde step switching away from NVIDIA. So I don't know. First generation, I can't wait to see the first, you know, hardcore reviews. I've got a nagging feeling that it might be a sideways step rather than an improvement.
That's interesting. Will, the other thing that was talked about this week was an upgrade to Final Cut Pro. Now you're a very good user of that, because you used to teach it and so on with Apple, or still do, I guess. There's supposed to be an upgrade associated with that as well now. Are the two things going to go hand in hand, perhaps, or? I'm not sure that was a question, actually. No.
New Final Cut. Is it going to be cool?
There we go. That's the translation. There's a new Final Cut Pro coming out that they're saying is jaw dropping, unquote, for some of the high end users.
Right.
Now, I mean, the old Final Cut Pro you used to teach in, yes?
Yes. Yes.
Did that use a lot of data handling? Are you going to get any benefit from the Thunderbolt thing with video in, video out on it? Or are these two things, do you think, completely separate?
I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, scratch disk, I suppose that's what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Yeah.
How quickly you can interface with a scratch disk. But to be honest with you, I mean, FireWire 400 is fine. You know, you don't really see any lag or anything. I don't anyway. My scratch disk is connected over FireWire 800 at the moment, and it works fine. So I don't know. I didn't even know there was a... is that a rumor, or is that the truth, the new version of Final Cut?
It's confirmed.
Yeah.
It's confirmed. Is it really? Oh, good.
Yeah. That's good. There's a new version coming. No, this is what you're saying there actually probably confirms that the two are kind of synonymous then, because if they're talking about using the scratch disk and they want high speed through from the scratch disk, if they've got a brand new version of Final Cut Pro, they're going to need to be able to do, if they're doing a lot more things with it, they're going to be able to need to do an awful lot more data transfer and use of the scratch disk. So that could be the reason why the two have been coming at a kind of similar time, perhaps.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's really not up to Apple, is it? It's up to the hard disk manufacturers to put that sort of connectivity into the hard disk. I mean, eSATA was the big the bad boy on the block for a while, isn't it? But that never really seemed to take off. Old eSATA, didn't it?
I mean, there's a good point, actually, because, I mean, why did eSATA fail so much? Was it just the speed, or was it the fact that you had to have a new wire and there was new connectivity and it was a different port that you have to have, and most of the ports didn't come as standard on laptops, they only came on desktops with an expansion card? I mean...
Well, that's it. I mean, there's no... My hard disk, I've got eSATA, but I've got no sort of eSATA connectivity in my Mac. And I don't know, I mean, the big thing about speed, for me, it's all well and good, but at the end of the day, I don't mind waiting a few extra seconds to have some video render or whatever. I do think people sort of get caught up in the numbers game, and for me, it's probably the least important part of owning a Mac. It's, you know, a few seconds here or there, well, who cares? Life's too short, isn't it?
I've always found that for drive speed, the most important thing to worry about is actually the drive speed, not necessarily the throughput rate, because that's the thing that seems for me, certainly, to make the biggest difference.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Your RPM.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to know, of the listener base to the podcast, what proportion of those are actually Final Cut or Final Cut Express users. I suspect it's probably quite small. And probably the majority might be using sort of, you know, iMovie.
Will, you used to train people. What proportion of people came in for Final Cut Express? I know that Tom Lewis at the store that you were at was probably, you know, the guru of the store for Final Cut.
Oh, he's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, he was snot hot. But, I mean, was that one of the fewer lessons that you used to ever have to give?
I worry when people came in for that. Because I'm thinking, oh, Christ, here we go. What do you do for a job? Oh, I'm a video editor, and I've been using XYZ for years, and I've decided to move to Final Cut. You're thinking, oh God, have you really?
Yeah.
But there was always that sort of scary moment when they came in, because for me, I've got no passion for video, and I've got no passion for photography either. And I think that was the difference with somebody like Tom, who was really passionate about video. And I think that makes a difference in a trainer sometimes. You have to be passionate about what you're talking about. Really, well, especially like in a one-on-one situation, you do anyway. But I mean, Final Cut, it's such a ridiculously complicated application, isn't it? It's just, it blows your mind.
Yeah.
And I struggle at the best of times, to be honest.
Well, the one thing that I thought was, if you look at the moment, the current standard of, say, the popular version that's out there is going to be Final Cut Express, which I've got a copy of. And yes. If you now look at iMovie 11, in terms of the difference that you get, yes, you can do more in Final Cut Express from 4 years ago, but for the amount of legwork and effort you've got to go to, and the number of times you've got to sit there with some, you know, kind of Bibles reading through it going, how do I do, you know, the iMovie is so much more functional and flexible and powerful. I can't see them selling it unless it's for the pro market.
While we're talking about this, can I, they're not sure. An advertiser or anything like that, but Boinx TV, B-O-I-N-X.
We know it well.
TV. It's great bit of software, really easy to use. Things like, like Chroma Key and stuff like that, which, you know, is great in Final Cut, but it's a big learning curve. But it's rubbish. Well, in my experience, Chroma Key and iMovie is pretty terrible. But Boinx TV does great. Chroma Key does. It's a really accessible and usable. Nice program to use.
It is. I mean, it's drag and drop as well. The video that we published last week, our first video, was made with Boinx. Just the standard home edition as well. We're having a chat with them to see if they want to do a bit more together on the video side of things. But it's a great drag and drop. And Mark, I know you've seen it. I showed you the functionality
very,
of it.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's about layers, and then you just set up hotkeys for transfer. So when you bounce backwards and forwards, all I'm doing is hitting Control Alt and P to go between the two video systems. It's very good. It's very graphics card hungry, I'll have to say. Unless you're running at least 512, and really you need more like 1 gigahertz.
That's not a surprise, really.
Gigahertz, no gigabits. It's now this is the thing, you see, though. It only uses the graphics card. It doesn't go for any of the system RAM to try and pep itself up, and it drops frames like you wouldn't believe unless you've got adequate RAM on it.
A seriously good card, yeah, I can imagine.
I've had a go with it on the Mac Mini. It was just an utter and total waste of time.
Yeah.
I talk about lip sync issues. God, couldn't get the lips to move. Just stop and then I'll jump to the next one, you know, 2 minutes later.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should bet you could probably actually see the frames refreshing.
Yeah, pretty much. What else has happened in this week in Apple News? We've got the new we've got the new MacBook Pros and Thunderbolt, and we've got the new Final Cut Pro. I can't think there's been a great deal else really.
There's the speculation of the iPad 2. Well, not speculation anymore, is it? It's going to be March the 2nd. iPad 2. Now, what's it going to be its name? I can't believe that Apple will put the number 2 after any product name. I suppose it's possible, but. I don't know. Anyone heard what its new name might be?
Well, they're saying 2, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it with the iPhones, they haven't, the different versions of that have come out over time.
Yeah,
they just called
4,
the iPhone,
iPhone
haven't they?
iPhone 3GS.
Yeah.
iPhone 4, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
iPad 2.
iPad 2. Everyone's saying it's got
I think
a 2 on it.
When it's revealed, it will just be iPad.
It's seeming like that, the as far as we can know, definitely bigger speaker, definitely front-facing camera, but probably not the sort of higher sort of iPhone 4 display technology.
Yeah, they're also everyone's suggesting that there's no Retina display with this one, but there is another suggestion that this isn't iPad 2, that it's actually iPad 1A.
Right. And lighter as well. I mean, so I'm in a household where there's both an iPad and a Kindle floating around, and weight definitely is the big issue in terms of actually using it to read a book. That's where Kindle is streets ahead. The fact that you really can sort of hold it with one hand, whereas the iPad really is like a sort of Moses tablet.
£1.50. I remember watching the keynote for iOS 4.2, and it. I had to put it down in my lap after about 10 minutes. It was too heavy.
My toddler spanned my iPad across the kitchen floor the other day. It was entertaining.
Good lad. Did he have a good giggle about it?
He thought it was great fun, yeah. There it goes, Dad.
And your reaction?
Well, I sort of live with it now. I remember I only had it for a couple of days and he scratched the screen. He decided to give it a bit of key action. So,
It's the tough test, isn't it?
Oh, I'll give up. There's no point worrying about it anymore.
Oh, God, if my boy had done that, he'd have been up for adoption. No, they're saying it's iPad 1A, not iPad 2, and iPad 2 is going to come in September, October, so it's more in line with the iPod and iPhone kind of period of the year. So you're looking at kind of the computer hardware at the front end of the year with software and then the mobile devices towards the end of the year. A little bit more.
So we're going to get a convergence of technologies, but just with different size screens.
Yeah, and there's still the suggestion of the 7-inch thing because Steve said there'll never be a 7-inch thing, so that's kind of like a product announcement, isn't it? So
Steve said, I think it's interesting the other tablets are now starting to sort of garner a real fan base. I mean, yes, I am Steve Jobs' love child, but I would drop it like a hot brick if there was something better. I mean, I don't, you always want the best thing. And it seems like the Samsung Zoom is getting some rave reviews. I'm curious, I might definitely take a look at it.
Well, the market's dropped, hasn't it? I mean, Apple was something like 95% of the tablet market for the whole year because, A, there was nothing else to start with, and then even when there was, everyone kind of get laissez-faire about it. But the Galaxy Tab put a bit of a stop to that. That saw some increase, and now that all the others have come out and RIM's got the playbook potentially coming on, they're looking at the market share is down now to about 70%. So that's a pretty significant drop. You were at 90-95 and down to 70.
I'm really surprised it's that low.
It is.
Because I don't think the others actually are that credible.
Well, having played with the Galaxy S Tab in the 7-inch format for a couple of hours, it was a pile. Absolute pile of crap. It felt nasty. It felt cheap and horrible. It was kind of flexible, and when you do that kind of twist test. Which I shouldn't have done with a review unit, but it kind of cracked and felt like it was going to come apart. It didn't feel anywhere near as well made or as solid as the iPad at all. But
I think the other big hurdle all these guys have got is apps, ultimately, isn't it? That's where Apple really are streaks ahead with the app store.
That's what I've been banging on about with why I think WebOS is dead.
Before it's even started?
Yep.
because it's the apps.
They missed the chance.
Well, the thing with WebOS, of course, is a challenge to Apple is the fact that they've got that ability to because they are interfaced with the web. So you effectively have this continuousness where you could pick up your application in WebOS on any computer that's running a web browser, any web browser, Safari, Chrome, anything like that. You can just go straight in there and pick up where you left off with your application because it's all cloud-based.
Yeah, but it's no good. It's no good. It's not going to take off if, you know, if without the number of apps. I mean, I'm talking as obviously as a previous WebOS user from the Palm Pre. And ultimately, that's why I ditched it because of the lack of apps.
But I mean,
I can show my age now, but this sounds like ZX Spectrum versus Dragon 32 all over again. Superior machine, but where's the software?
Well, true.
Yeah, that's true. But I remember that too.
The thing with all of the Apple products, though, is the docking process. You've got to dock them. You know, you reinvent yourself on your computer, you've got to dock and reinstall all of your content because there's this tied link with iTunes. What WebOS is saying, there's no docking, there's no syncing because it's all going on in the cloud anyway. Is that not, I mean, Apple have really got a thing. I mean, they've got Lala, but they've never done anything with it in terms of cloud syncing for music and that kind of thing. Streaming, they're really very tentative about music streaming even so. I think if WebOS wants, if iOS wants to survive, it's got to evolve into an always-on web service as well as being able to work offline, which is where WebOS takes the key.
Can I tell you what winds me up?
Go on then.
Right. You get an application for your iPad or your iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big boy. It's like 160 meg, okay?
Right.
You download it and you put it on your phone and you think. Then they decide to update it. And you have to re-download the whole thing again. It doesn't just update the software. The whole thing downloads again. Really, it's crap, isn't it? It's really a bad way of working, I think. I mean, it's costing them bandwidth, and it's costing you time, and you know, there we are. Just sort of share that bitterness.
It's a valid point, but I certainly from a bandwidth point of view, I always try and make sure that I do my updates on my Nexus S when I'm using Wi-Fi only.
But I think what Will's saying there, correct me if I'm wrong here, Will, is what you'd love to do is, fine, it can download the whole thing if it really needs to do the update, but you want it to do it when you don't want to use it. You want to do it when it's sat in the background, and you'd like to think that it would constantly be looking for updates for itself and doing it through your router rather than having to update by having to go to an app store and physically go and get it, or having to link it to your MacBook to finally try and get it to get everything back on. Because it's one thing that really annoys me, you know, podcasts and things like that. If I haven't physically taken my iPhone and attached it to my laptop to transfer new content on, I haven't got new podcasts to listen to. I haven't got new app updates and stuff like that. You know, I think it's a pain in the backside.
I hear what you're saying, but I think the issue with that is that it would use even more battery life than it does already.
Really?
Also, with updates, you know, the real issue here is a question of bandwidth, isn't it? And we're immediately dating ourselves by even talking about it. I mean, this is back to, you know, the modem world, you know, 300 baud to 9600 baud to sort of one point. You have to assume that in the not too distant future, bandwidth won't be an issue.
Bandwidth won't be an issue.
Won't be an issue. No, I mean, we'll all, you know, right now we're sort of starting to get to the sort of top end of sort of copper limitations. But I mean, this is, you know, if we were to go back 5 years, you know, the speeds available to the home, to the regular user then, to what's happened now are, you know, monumental leaps. And of course, the same will also be true. So, yeah, these things are slow at the moment, but that's something that will go away for sure.
Okay. Interesting. Right. Anyone got any other news?
Can also, there's the other thing I was interesting this week was a whole before we go away, a whole slew of extra info on what might be coming in or what is coming in Lion.
Yes, of course. I forgot about that. The developers. You're a developer, I take it then, Andrew.
Me? No, I just fix things.
But you've got a hold of a copy, haven't you?
Yes, but. Not through. I'm not a developer myself. No.
Shh.
But yeah, there's some interesting. You know, the initial launch of Lion, when Apple was saying, you know, this is what the system looks like. It was looking a bit distinctly meh. And the whole sort of bringing it back from the iOS into the Mac thing is like, you know, to be honest, there was a bit of shivers up the spine going on there. But actually, from the other day's release of stuff, there's some interesting little things going on in there. Certainly some of the stuff looks really cool. Mail, Apple Mail client looks like it's going to get a much needed kick up the backside.
The one thing I've been campaigning for is address book contacts and Apple to just and iCal to get a massive update.
Yeah, not sure iCal's going to, but Mail looks good. AirDrop looks interesting.
Yes, Dropboxy.
Yeah, very Dropboxy. It's either going to be absolutely awesome or it's going to be light back to my Mac, something that Apple get bored with almost instantly.
Yeah.
File Vault, we'll skip over that because if you use File Vault, then you need your head examining. And the big one, I was looking at the bottom they put in there, just gone, oh yeah, no more OS X server. OS X client is the server edition as well.
Yes, now I caught your tweet this morning. You were saying...
I was like, zoinks? How does that work?
Well, they've ripped themselves out of a £400 operating system there, haven't they? Because, I mean, that's the standard fee for OS X server is about £400. And it's the bigger part of the total price of the Mac Mini server.
Yeah.
Because it's such an expensive piece of software. And from what you said this morning, that's all going to be integrated. And that income source, which I'm guessing probably there isn't an income stream from, which is why it's happy to let it go. But it's all going to be integrated.
Yeah. The only thing I could possibly think that made any kind of sense was that obviously OS X client, which has a limit built into it that most people never come up against, that you can only have 10 users connected to a machine at any one time. So I could certainly see an issue where Apple saying, yeah, Lion server in the client OS has this limit. So it's good for small businesses. It's good for home serving. You can do a web server. But if you're a medium-sized enterprise, then you'll be buying Lion Server Pro, which comes bundled with the Mac Mini server.
Right.
I can see that happening. The Apple saying, well, the Mac Mini server is our only actually marketed as a server piece of hardware, and that will come with Lion Pro. Everything else, just, you know, knock yourself out, boys.
Well,
what is the estimated release date for Lion?
There is
summer.
There isn't one, but it's slated for this year.
Yeah,
this summer this year.
And do we think it's going to be the sort of, you know, sort of seismic shock of Leopard versus Panther, or is it going to be really sort of all UI fun and tweaks?
I thought it was going to be UI fun and tweaks when it first. It's just, you know, repeatedly hitting Leopard until it looked more like iOS. But I think from the way they're going, there's going to be a lot more under the hood stuff happening, and I think there'll be more updates in the next few months, more stuff coming out. Mm. I think it'll be like going from Panther to Tiger. It'll be like, whoa, it's going to be the mature version of Snow Leopard, in the same way that Tiger finally knocked OS X into shape, and everyone said, yep, this is what OS X should have been. I think Lion is going to be, yeah, Leopard was okay, Snow Leopard, it's faster, it's the same, this is what we wanted. I think it's going to be the next thing.
Mm. There's also a suggestion that next week iOS 4.3 could be out as well as. There's been no change to the one that's been seeded out for developers on that front as well. So, who knows? That would be nice.
Yeah, I was interested to see the... Just sorry to knock you back again, but I'd forgotten. I'm just scrolling down it as we go. That the interesting is the sort of autosave and versions and resume bits of Lion, which also look really interesting. You can see that the versions thing, which is the first time that Apple have taken the time capsule, time machine metaphor, which we're all, you know, now happy with, and bringing that into the OS so that you can, you know, fire up versions of your work and go back in time over that. Obviously, you know, people have been working on that behind the scenes since Time Machine came out.
I take issue with the phrase happy with Time Machine. No, it doesn't work.
No, Time Machine's pretty poor, I've got to say. I've never used it, and when I have had it running, all I did was switch it off after a while because it was just pointless. Never had to restore anything from it. I never felt like it, and it sapped an awful lot of time. It did it when it wanted to, and trying to get it to do it at 3 a.m. in the morning when you were fast asleep was a pain in the butt. Didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I've needed it to come to my rescue, and it's sort of worked, but painful.
Painful.
I think for the regular, you know, to give something like that to my mum, I guess is my sort of bellwether of a proper standard user who doesn't want to care about the technology, just wants it to work. It's not quite ready, not fit for purpose.
Well, I have to say that I don't know whether the people there would regard it as a plus or a minus, but it certainly saved the final copy of Dom Jolly's latest book, which is certainly available in print now, thanks to Time Machine.
Oh, is that what actually happened? He saved it because he got it backed up?
He did, yes. He did have it backed up.
There you go. It's always for that one occasion, isn't it, when you didn't think you'd need it, but lo and behold.
Yeah.
Well, can I... I like Time Machine. I think it's great. What's the problem with it? It just works, yeah. I have no problems at all. I see my little dinghy spinning around. It gives me a safe, comfortable feeling that everything's been backed up.
What have you recovered from it, Will, that's been a good, happy experience? Is it files or email or all?
Well, I've never needed to take anything back from it, but the whole backup process is seamless, and it's not something I think about anymore. Just off it goes and, you know, chugs away.
I must say, I'm kind of with Will on this. I like it because it's there, and if you give people Time Machine, you know, they will use it, because once it started, they forget they're even using it. It certainly starts to the whole experience. The whole Time Machine experience is somewhat sullied if you try and use a time capsule with it, which is perhaps where people get confused, because that really does slow things down. And of course, it's like you might as well have a big flag saying, "I'm here cooking your data."
Very good point. Yeah, I think actually that's the point I suppose I was making, possibly not coherently, is that yes, time capsule is the thing that I've found very painful. But Time Machine, in principle, with a better disk, is probably better. But I think from Apple's perspective, they're really trying to sort of push Time Machine equals time capsule as the hardware, and it's that bit that is a bit lacking.
No, I'm going to take an issue with all of you here. All right, good. No, exactly. It wouldn't be much of a discussion program if we all agreed. No, because the thing is, I think for the average user, Time Machine probably is fine with Time Capsule. You just plug it in, you say, look, back up everything, please, away you go, and you get it back. And the user interface for it isn't bad for trying to get your data back. That's good. For anyone that's kind of even pushing pro-end use, I just don't see the point. All of my data is not on my Mac. All of my data is on other drives, and it's backed up across drive using ChronoSync. And Time Machine has got no functionality to help me whatsoever, because Time Machine wants a drive to link to a Mac and take everything from that Mac to that drive. And that's it.
And any external drives attached to that Mac.
Yeah, but that's when it gets... But then you're starting to think, well, if I'm going to start backing up everything to a single location, because it can't do multiple location backups. It's not ChronoSync. You can take this data and stick it over here, and then you can get it back from over here. But unless you can fit all that data over here, you can't use it. So you're talking about 2 terabytes. Well, I'm sorry, but 2 terabytes for me is nothing. That's a single location for all the data. I'd have to make a RAID drive at 8 terabytes to get everything that I wanted backed up in a single location using Time Machine. And that's more cost and effort than it's bloody worth trying to just bounce it across to a second drive that's mirroring it using ChronoSync.
Yeah, is that not the issue though, Ewan? Because you are not the best in the world, a regular standard user. I mean, you've got all the proper stuff that's quite sophisticated, but the average home user, the person that's going to buy something off the Apple Store or walk into a shop, is going to walk away with a time capsule and an iMac and think that that's it, job done.
And I agree.
And it sort of is, but until you want to get something back, and then suddenly you realize you can't search for, you know, world's most important purchase order .doc in email. You've got to know the exact date and then hope that it's there, and it doesn't always work.
And also it doesn't maintain backup forever. There is a limitation to this. You could run to the point where you'll go so far back, and then it'll just stop.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's eating itself on a pretty tight window, depending on your sort of disk space. So yeah, if you're relying on a crutch that you can always go back to, you're going to be very sadly disappointed.
I've got to say, I think it's a bit of a turd rolled in glitter, but there you go. Clicker in the chat room says it sucks. There you go. Thanks, man.
Good. I couldn't agree more, Matt.
Right. Have we got an eye thingy? Have we got something that's super cool that's for purely Mac users?
Yes.
Start us off, Mark, or not?
Sure. So I am an FTP fan back in the day for shipping stuff over, and CyberDuck is, without any shadow of a doubt, would be my favorite FTP client. So if you do have to sort of move stuff around, because I think what some people forget is if you want to sort of email a big attachment or even use the web, there's a level of encoding that goes on with that stuff. So if you want to email 10 meg, for instance, or even 5 meg, it's going to grow by 33% just by virtue of encoding. So, you know, ship it via the protocols. FTP is designed for that. And CyberDuck is a lovely, fluffy interface with which to do it.
It's free of charge.
It's free.
You get it at cyberduck.ch. Now, that's the only downside, isn't it? It's a piece of Chinese software. And you never trust the Chinese.
I don't think it is in terms of its origin. I think that's down to cheap hosting.
Oh, is that all?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's an American.
I'm sorry to have maligned our Chinese brethren. If I did,
I'll be after you now.
That's it. I'm done now. Name's going to be UK2 is going to be absolutely pilloried with Chinese denial of service attacks now. Andrew, what have you got for us as a cool thingy?
Well, I can see Mark's CyberDuck, and this isn't my cool thing, but I'll raise him Transmit. And if you like the interface of CyberDuck, then go and get the 30-day trial for Transmit, because it's bloody awesome. It's just fantastic.
How do you spell that? Is it just Transmit?
Transmit, yep.
For Mac.
I was a CyberDuck worshipper, and then someone said, have a go at Transmit, and I had a look at it, and I was like, Oh. Anyway,
Transmit's also good for torrents, isn't it?
No, that's Transmission.
You're right.
There's a Transmit.
I thought you were straying into sort of Pirate Bay waters there, which is why I was thinking, ooh.
No. Transmission for torrents and Transmit for FTP.
Gotcha.
But anyway, the cool thing that I was going to have was, and Ewan said it's like a cool thing for Mac people only. And this is just so Mac, it's lovely. There's nothing more boring than just churning away in Word, writing out something, or trying to do something creative in Word. Pages is okay, it's a little bit better. But if you want to write something and enjoy writing it, then you want to go to www.literatureandlatte.com and help yourself to Scrivener, which is the best word processor and authoring tool ever written.
Yes, Scrivener is very good. There's another one as well you can get, OmWriter, OLM Writer, and it's available in the Mac store at the moment, and it's very cheap. And I used it when it was a free version. It was very good. And it's coming for Windows as well, so if you're a Windows user, then I do apologise for you.
I'm a fan of OmWriter, and hands up, if you're dyslexic, it's brilliant.
Now that's exactly what I was about to say there, because I don't mind admitting to my dyslexia. I don't know if everyone else does or not. Obviously, you don't, Mark. The beauty of that is you can put a set of headphones on and it plays ambient music in the background. It gives you a very bland picture behind it and you can just focus. So, you know, if you've got a bit of ADD as well, then it's perfect. It brings you right back in there. But I have to agree, Scrivener is an excellent application and a good pick.
It's a really, really Mac interface, thought out piece of kit. And it's just, if you want to write something creative, and it handles your writing structure, it handles your research, you can put all your pictures in, you can do your story plotting, you can do your character development arcs, you can put timelines into it, or you can just write the new sales presentation pitch for widget.com if you have to.
Sarah, would you like to do an eye thingy or not?
Yeah, I would actually.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised.
As you know, I'm not a huge Apple fan, but we do have an iPad in the house, and this isn't an iMac, but it's iPad. And I must admit, I was a bit sceptical. I suggested it for my housemate, who is not massively technical, but she'd had a PC before, and on the realms that Macs are better for people. If you're sort of relatively new to it, I suggested that she get an iPad. And I must admit, I actually, like I touched on earlier about the fact that I thought the iPad was the best tablet out there, and I still think it's best.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I've used it a lot, and I do actually think it's great.
revolutionary and magical.
So you're just recommending the iPad?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's the best tablet. If I, though I don't like buying Apple products because I don't like the way that they're sort of a lot of the way they do things. It is the best tablet out there, and I do think it's great.
No, excellent, very good. Well, I totally agree. Totally agree. Will, have you got a cool thingy for us?
Well, yes.
I have. Good. Do you want me to do mine first,
nice.
Though?
So I'm just buying Writer. It looks good, doesn't it?
Writer's awesome, mate. You're going to love it. Absolutely love it.
Click buy right now. There we go. What have I got? Yes, what have I got? Now, I don't know about yourself, but I used to have a strange obsession about knowing the weather outside when you're inside. It seems to be, you know, those little things.
You put the sensor out the window and trap it in, yeah.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. And then you get the software that sort of does similar stuff as well. And this is nothing to do with that at all, but it's slightly...
Tenuous link.
Yes, it has a slight connection because I can tell you now the temperature of my smart disk is 60 centigrade and my main logic board is 57 centigrade. Why I need to know this, I don't know. But
I was going to say, how's that changed your life?
Yeah, well, it hasn't yet, but one of these days, it probably will. I can select smart disk, ambient air, CPU, heat disk, et cetera, et cetera. Even the temperature of my optical drive. Hey. Anyway. right. Anyway, where are we? Yes, ambient air. So the ambient air in my Mac is currently 21 centigrade. And this is a widget, and I'm no fan of widgets. I think they're terrible, but I rather like this one. So it's free, and you can download it from, he says, this should have been prepared, shouldn't it? Why am I prepared, Ewan? Why is that there?
Because you will.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Here we are.
Endearing appeal.
Same guy who does Tinker Tool and all that, and he's got some really interesting little applications. They're all rather techie, but this one is free, but you can download it from www.bresync.com. Bresync.com. And it's a bit of a laugh. Totally useless, as I say. Why you'd need to know this stuff, I don't know. But I've enjoyed using it.
Would that be useful for you, Andrew? If someone came to you and said, I've got really running high temperatures on this, that, or the other, would that help you as a technician?
Yeah, I've got a couple of temperature sensor apps that I use. So there's quite a few on the market. What's the one I use at the moment? Can't remember. I'm on the wrong Mac. But yes, it's always good. It helps you to track down a possible source of problems. It's quite common on the newish iMacs for the fans to go crazy for various reasons. And it's always useful to find out what temperature is going on at different parts of the Mac.
But for me, it's a way of talking to. So you've got the software, the sort of OS X, the front bit, right? But then you've got all the little chips and all the gubbins going on inside. But you can never really talk to them. You can never really interact with them. So maybe if you get lonely one day and you're wondering about how the little chips are doing and their little sensors that are never used, you can chat them out.
Yeah,
you know that sort of thing. I think
who needs Facebook?
It's great.
Oh man, alive.
So the battery on my MacBook Pro is at 30 degrees, and
great.
My CPU is at 78 degrees.
Oh, so now, your CPU, right? I'll tell you what, 70?
79 it's gone up to.
See, I can't this think I'm alone in thinking, you really need to get out more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My CPU, 54 centigrade.
Right, I'm going to... go on then, Will, sorry. Last statistic.
I'm on my own, but in the winter, I always measure things in centigrade, so you think, oh, it's minus -2. But in the summer, I switch to Fahrenheit, because you say, oh, it's in the 70s or something, don't you?
No, I don't get Fahrenheit.
Oh, I always go for Fahrenheit, especially summertime. Yeah, I can relate to that.
No.
You see, my CPU is 131 degrees Fahrenheit, which is really hot, isn't it? That's a hot day, that is.
So what is it in centigrade?
I don't know.
60, 70 something?
No, it'll be sort of 40 something, I would think.
Yeah, double and 32, isn't it? Ish.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
But I say I can't. I can see from here that maybe you would know why, Will. But my left fan is running 7 RPM faster than my right fan.
My left nipple's higher than my right.
But reminds you of those, you know those spinning tassels that the ladies put on. Anyway,
no, moving on.
Let's not go there.
Moving on.
Thanks for that visual.
That's okay.
Happy Friday.
My eye thingy, and I am a loud one, sorry, but my eye thingy comes about because of a conversation we had last week. Now, we were all saying about, well, Quicksilver, no, don't really get on with Quicksilver. And what about Spotlight? Well, Spotlight's, you know, promising, but not really that good. And someone wrote to me, thank you very much. They sent me an email and they said, have you tried Albert? Albert Alfred. For Mac. Alfred, even, for Mac. I thought it was Albert. No, it's Alfred.
No, Alfred.
Alfred. Alfred for Mac. And it's a picture of a bowler hat, but it's the same thing. You set it up for command and space as your trigger for it, and it comes up, and it's a lot more graphical. It's a lot bigger for a start for a blind old stuff like myself, and it gives you lots of choices, like a kind of Google instant search. It's brilliant. I love it.
I think
and it's free.
If you sort of hated iDisk and found that Dropbox was the true answer, then Albert is what Searchlight should be.
It is. I mean, and have you used it this week then, Mark?
I did. After you demonstrated it to me, yes. And awesome.
It is. It's very, very good. It does work very, very well.
I want to say it just quickly. Last year, I can't remember where Mark knows when, but I did a particularly mad thing for children in need involving Twitter and hiding in our 24 hours Tesco's for 24 hours. Vero Popperelli, I think Pepperelli. She's the woman behind Alfred, just popped out of the blue, and she donated over £100 to my children in need thing. So I've been a big fan of her and Alfred and the development team there since then.
Oh, well, if you know her, then give her my regards and tell her I think it's bloody marvellous. Tell her she was the pick, actually. I'll write to them.
I will. I shall send her an email and say, get thee to the podcast and find us bigging up your product.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's a stunning, stunning thing, and it's free. Thank you very much. I'll send a donation, though, because if she's got a donations button.
Yeah, it's good. And you can buy packs that extend it. The basic Alfred is free, but you can buy sort of power packs that
Yes, £12. That's right, yeah. Ward off RSI, because it skips the mouse with easy shortcuts, it says. Jolly good. Right. Before we disappear, we need to say thank you to our sponsors, UK2.net. They are the people that look after us and keep us afloat, and I know you probably get sick of me mentioning them, but we really wouldn't be here without them. So if you listen to the podcast, you've got to go and use UK2.net. Go to bageltechnews.com and click on the link through, and they'll know that we're sending you, which means that they're going to keep supporting us. And in the off chance that you actually do want a domain name or web hosting or anything like that, use the click through and go and buy it from them. And you'll probably get a decent deal. They're not bad on that kind of stuff. E-commerce, those kind of things, that's all the stuff that they do. And they're going to support us with some competitions and things going forward throughout the rest of this year. And they're signed up to us for the whole of the year. So thank you, UK2, because we'd be lost without you. Where can we get a hold of you then, people? Mark, where are you, mate?
My Twitter moniker would be at marksunner.com, Mark with a K, SUNNER. So follow that if you want to read the tweets of a madman or cranky geek mad.
You're also a bit of a security guy, aren't you? Well practiced, yeah, in the security world
by my background, yes, security. So be paranoid, basically, I think.
And next week we've got a bit of a special going on, haven't we? Because we're going to do the Mac show as normal at 1 o'clock, but then at 3 o'clock, Graham Cluley from Sophos is going to join me and Mark, and we're going to talk about security for Mac users and why you should take it seriously. Because apparently, I saw a video this week, which I don't know whether I should or not, but it was rather worrying, I have to say. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that, if you do think about you might need security, go to sophos.com and get in there and get yourself the free Mac virus antivirus. It's
Absolutely.
Free. Just download it and it installs it and it runs and it's just perfect. It doesn't slow your system down, nothing. There you go. Andrew, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Toddle along on the internet to www.drhappymac.co.uk. Follow me and Mivan on Twitter or at Dr. Happy Mac. yeah, nice to see you. Always happy to see people dropping by.
Are you going to do like a GPS thing, so you're constantly tweeting out your location in your van?
No, just, I don't know. My stalkers don't need to know that information.
But if anyone's got a fault with their Mac, you will help them.
I will help them, yes.
And providing that you've got rubber gloves handy, you will help Windows users as well.
Yes, I will help them in a certain special way.
But the rate's twice as high, I hope. Kyle Swagger, alias Sarah, where can we get a hold of you? Sorry, mate, I should have changed your banner.
I feel like I should start doing my Elvis impression now.
Oh.
In memory of the Kyle Swagger.
Thank you for standing in at the last minute for Kyle. Where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can get hold of me at my website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk.
Thanks, mate. And finally, last but my name is least, Will Green, British Mac man.
That's me.
When's the next episode due, mate?
Well, today, actually. I did a video one, my first video one yesterday,
and?
Which was a bit of a laugh. Got a green screen behind me and studio lights and everything. That's good. So I enjoyed doing that. But you can find me at www.britishmac.com.
And on Twitter.
And Twitter's British Mac as well.
Yes, excellent, mate. Looking forward to it.
The Twitter stuff's pretty dull. I mean, my Twitter stuff's dull.
Well, I've
mainly talks
any
about curry
lately.
At the moment for some reason.
That's all right. That's okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that.
No problem at all.
I had an argument with the bloke at the curry house.
About what?
The Mac King prawns in my. I have chicken and king prawn Baltimore Madras. And I said, last time I only had one king prawn in it. And he said, well, if you want more, you're going to have to pay extra. I am not paying extra for more than one king prawn. So he went into the kitchen and spoke to the bloke. And now I get two king prawns in my curry.
So you sound like you have that regularly.
Probably too much, actually. Yeah.
Right. So how many prawns? Is this a case that there's been cutbacks, or was there only ever one in it?
I think there's been cutbacks. I get quite bitter about this. I think there's been cutbacks. I seem to get more chicken and less king prawn.
I'd change your curry house.
Well, but they're such nice chaps. That's the thing.
No, they're taking you for advantage. They're taking advantage of you.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
I think they're laughing about you as you disappear with your single prawn. You know, they're absolutely wetting themselves in the kitchen.
He actually called me up the other week and said, that bloke, Will Green, God. Yep.
What they do is they get all the spare prawns on their fingers and you've gone out with your one prawn and they're going, I'm Will's spare prawn. He hasn't got us.
That's how they're eating for the evening.
What was that kiddish thing with the little prawns on?
Finger mouse.
Finger mouse, yes. That's what they do with my extra king prawns.
I can't believe
they
I knew that.
Don't eat me, Will. Don't eat me.
Finger mouse came up a while ago and I said something that we got a letter of complaint over. But...
Pull up.
No, I think the comment I made was, did you ever notice that the finger mouse never got near that, or finger bobs never got near the bloke's beard? And I said, well, it's okay, you can shove your finger up my arse, but don't stick me anywhere near that beard.
Wait for the next complaint.
Yeah, no, I'll have to edit this bit. Never mind. No, Will, they're definitely, I'm with Andrew on this one, they're definitely looking down the street and seeing you coming towards the curry house and going, hey, watch this bloke. He gets so upset about the prawns. Take him out.
I've never mentioned it before, but I took him to task the other day. But so far, now I get a free pint of lager when I go in there, which is good because I'm such a regular. What's that program called now? What is it now? Where you sign in or, I can't remember what it's called now. I'm the mayor anyway. I'm the mayor of the curry house.
Foursquare.
Foursquare, that's it.
I'm the mayor
of the curry house.
As opposed to the nightmare. Watch out for the frothy head on that beer, though. Going forwards.
No, but the thing is, that I talked to him about this king prawn situation. And I said, this is none. Because I also mentioned the curry house up the road, which I've had a few curry houses. Which I get loads of king prawns.
I'm going to the curry house up the road.
But now the thing is, though, the prawns that they give me are... something like Super King Prawn or something. I can't remember. They're like little monsters. They're as big as an egg, these king prawns are. They're massive things. And they reckon they cost £1 each. But I don't know. I'm not convinced.
I think we've got the title of the show sorted.
Do you realise that that conversation about your King Prawn Balti took up more than the discussion about the MacBook Pros? And I'll tell you what, I'm leaving it in.
These are the important issues today that we need to discuss.
I am not editing that out. Thank you very much. Right, we may be back again next week. Who knows? We might have a censorship or something. Who cares? Come and join us. British Mac is available through podcasts as well. Don't forget to go there and try Will's podcast out. But come back here on 1 o'clock on a Friday and you can listen to us witter on and compare curry hash memories. Have a good week. Thanks for listening.